Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your word to assure us that truly you are near. But as we gather again today, you are with us, that you are our God, and that you will look upon us needy people, to provide us with what we need. And we thank you, Father, that as we sing, that you will hear the plea of the righteous, that we may come before you this morning, knowing that we are not righteous in and of ourselves. We have not done what is right in your eyes, but that we may be righteous by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, that it is to in Christ's name that we come before you, that it is clothed in his wonderful garments of righteousness, that we may know, that we may stand before you. And Father, it is that assurance then also that allows us to humbly confess our sins this morning. As we've read your law, as we have considered your word, we confess that we have broken your commandments, that we have fallen into sin's trap, that we were promised something by sin, freedom, to feel like God, to do what is right in our own eyes. And Father, that it has not turned out, that sin has deceived us. Father, we also confess before you that we thought sin can grant us some gain, that we would somehow be ahead, that we would feel better, that we would be happy. But Father, we confess, what is worth gaining the whole world if we lose our soul? And so, Father, we confess that we have sinned against you and against your word. And we are heartily sorry for our sins. We confess them before you this morning, knowing that we have the forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And so would you help us then also to worship you in that grace, in that name of Jesus Christ, in the assurance that we have that we are your people, and that when we call upon you, you will heal the brokenhearted, you will listen to those who are in distress, that you will save us, and that you will be our God. And so grant us then humble hearts this morning, that we may hear your word, understand it, apply it to our lives, and live for you again. We ask you all of this in Christ's name alone. Amen. Now, I know the new year feels like it's already a week old, but as it's the first Sunday of 2024, we'll look this morning at this call that God gives us to grow in the Christian life. And in connection with that, we'll look at the beginning and end of the letter of Peter, the second letter of Peter. So we'll start by reading then 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 11. And our focus is going to be chapter 3, verse 18, where it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And Peter has already laid out kind of a program of growth at the beginning of his letter, things that we ought to focus on, things that we are at to add to our faith, and to make every effort to do so. And so it's good to read those verses at the beginning of 2 Peter. So 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of our God. "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, To those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So far, the reading of God's Word in preparation for our text. As we touch on that theme of growth today, we will be touching on that theme as in grows in plants and trees. And it's a very biblical theme that we find also in Psalm 1. And so we'll sing from Psalm 1, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Let's now then turn to the ending of the second letter of Peter. And chapter 3 has as one of its main themes, as the heading says in the Pew Bible, the day of the Lord, so living in anticipation of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Peter draws things together in those last couple of verses, coming back to that theme of growing. And so we'll start 2 Peter 3, verse 14, and read through the end. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in much of life, we could say that growth is a sign of life and of health. If you think of a baby in the womb or just born, a child, their growth will be monitored, will be measured, and registered as a sign of health. And we instinctively know that if they're not growing for a while, that something is off. And we start to worry. Or, you know, we may see this as we take care of, you know, our garden or house plants. If we keep on watering them and caring for them, but at some point they don't grow, we know, wait, something's going wrong. We may be missing something, doing something incorrectly. And you may think of your own examples. Growth is generally a sign of life and health. Now, you maybe know where I'm going with this. You may be wondering it, but, you know, there are some exceptions. Plants may reach their maximum size, or they, you know, they bear their fruit and they kind of stay that way. Babies, you know, grow and grow and grow until they hit an age where, you know, we all have stopped growing taller. At some point, the end of growth is not a worry. It's actually a sign of maturity. My question this morning is, in the Christian life, how do we look at growth? And what stage do we think we have reached? Are we still at the stage where we have to worry when there's no growth? Or do we maybe think that, I've matured. I've stopped growing physically and I think I'm stopped growing spiritually. At what stage are you? And how do you view the need for growth? I want you to think very carefully about that question. and very honestly about it this morning and as you go from here. Because it is important. Because as those examples that we touched on show us, there's a crucial difference. In the one, no growth is a sign of, sickness, illness, something that's wrong. And in the other, it's just a sign of maturity. And you realize that if we get this wrong and think, hey, this is a sign of maturity, but actually it's a sign of sickness, or something being wrong, we have to get the diagnosis right. Now, thankfully, the Bible gives us the answer, and it gives us the diagnosis. Because Scripture is full of commands to grow. We'll focus on that one in verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we already noticed this in that first chapter, when it talks about, adding these things to your faith and gaining them in increasing measure. And there's many others that you could add to it. Growth in the Christian life, is, as it is for infants, is a sign of health and life. It is a sign, to use just that garden language, it is a sign that the branches are united to the vine and so bearing fruit, to use Jesus' words and imagery in John 15. And so as we start another year, as we consider plans, goals, even as we're already a week in, let's consider the call for each one of us to grow. To grow, using that language of 2 Peter 3:18, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so growth in the Christian life is a matter of health and of life as it is for a child. But maybe that gets us thinking. As we grow throughout our life, we don't really control our growth a whole lot. It just kind of happens. We don't really control it. That's why it may happen sporadically. No one grows just, steadily. It just kind of happens, for a while. You may not grow at all, and then all of a sudden you have a growth spurt, and you got to get all new pants or new clothes because it just happened. And we might expect the same then to happen in our growth as Christians. It's just going to happen. So how can God call us or even command us to grow? And part of that question is correct. And let's have that as one of our starting points this morning. Growth is a gift and work of God. I already alluded to John 15 and mentioned it. God is the gardener and Jesus is the true vine. We are the branches that grow as we are under His care and united to Him in their influence. But it is also as Jesus then Himself says in that chapter. He's like, my Father's the gardener, I am the true vine. So He says, you remain in me, abide in me. Stick to me. Yes. Even our physical growth just kind of happens. And yet, we also all know that if you don't eat at all or you don't eat well, you may stunt or just stop and halt your growth. There is still a lot that relies on you to do the right thing. And it is that part that Scripture forces us to consider very carefully. As God has made us alive in Jesus Christ, we are intended to grow and to do so by paying careful attention to the ways, the means, the tools, call it the food that He has given us, that we may grow. And so what is it in this verse that God brings to our attention? He says, first, grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. Which again may not be the first thing that we expect when we think about growth. Grace is preeminently the the word that the Bible uses for God's gift to us. Right? Grace has to do with undeserved favor, that we receive something that we don't earn and don't deserve. It's a gift. God has given us forgiveness of all of our sins. God has given us a new life. God has given us His Spirit, His Son, not because of anything that we have done, but because of Christ's sacrifice for us. This is why grace is sometimes, also used as an acronym. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's a gift. Why focus on grace and a gift as that in which we need to grow? Well, let's first answer why he didn't include it. It doesn't mean in any way that you don't have complete forgiveness in Jesus Christ and that you got to add something to it or gain some more, or that, Jesus' work accomplished a lot, but now you got to do your part. Hope is clear. As we come to the gospel, it's always clear that Christ is our Savior completely, fully. We trust in Him. So why then grow in grace? We still need grace for the Christian life. We still need grace, and especially His grace as His gift. It just encourages us to grow. And maybe think about this morning. The wonderful idea that is in that combination, grow in grace. Because the mention of grace sets us free. Yes, it's going to be a massive motivator that you have to grow. This is a precious gift that you have been given. But it also sets you free. So I don't know if you read the theme beforehand or the text beforehand, but maybe some of you did. Maybe even before the service began this morning. And you kind of maybe just felt down, or maybe you're like, oh, this may be an overwhelming topic. So maybe you didn't make any resolutions this year because you realized they never work. And you can try hard, and like next year you try harder, and the next year you try harder, but it just doesn't work. It just makes you end up feeling worse and feeling like a failure. But it maybe is that idea of setting a goal or to striving for more may just be that thing that just makes you tired to start out. It's going to be too heavy, too complicated, too difficult. I should just be at peace where I'm at and be content. Or slightly different, but a common reaction that we just would. We see, hey, God calls us to grow, and we're like, okay, I'm going to feel guilty. Because we've said this before, yes, I'm going to grow. I'm not going to do A, B, C. I am going to do, something else. I know that'll be good for my Christian growth. It's really necessary. You agree. But, that was last year, and it never happened. And this year, just feel guilty that another year went by and still there. And then God gives us that call to grow, and we maybe just feel tired right from the get-go, or we may feel ashamed by just how little we seem to grow each year again. And you may be just prepared to say, listen to the sermon, I'm going to consider, yes, growth is important, but I'm going to walk out knowing the importance of growth, but not able to do so. Shame, being tired, fear of failing. Don't you see that when the Lord says, grow in grace, He counters it with the wonderful news that the command is not because He fears that you will fail, but that He is so ashamed of how little that you have done. Not at all. He reminds us that He loves us dearly and that He laid His life down for us so that we may have this life. And that He gives it to us freely. Not because what you have accomplished already or what you may be able to accomplish in the future. He wants you to live. And he says, I want you to have life to the full. And for that, he reminds us, he has dealt with the guilt of sin. For those who believe in Jesus Christ, guilt remains no longer. As Christ has taken away our sin. He reminds us that grace is that power that sets us free from the dominion and the slavery to sin. That he wants us to be free and has accomplished that through his grace. So that whatever you do, and whatever you think about as you think about this theme of it's I need to grow, don't grow because otherwise you will think of yourself as a failure. Don't grow because you got to keep up with so-and-so in the church. Don't try to grow that you then may feel better about yourself and say, next year, Lord, look how I've served you. Grow in grace means to grow because you've just laid that all with Jesus Christ. And now you know the only thing that matters is Him. That you know that He has told you, abide in me, remain in me. And that is where freedom and life and growth is to be found. And then, with grace in mind, then we can honestly ask ourselves, have we grown in grace? Yes, this morning we are looking ahead, but just consider, maybe in the past year, maybe in the last while, have you grown in grace? Let's ask ourselves, what would that look like? And one of the top things has to be that to grow in grace is to grow in humility. Right, that's what grace does. It humbles us, saying, leaving it all with the Lord, I'm not great, but Christ is. And so we are humbled. Which, also realize this, humility is hard to detect in yourself. So you may have to ask someone else. Now, anytime I do a pre-confession class, it's one of the questions I ask kids, if they want to do profession of faith, how have you grown? How have you matured? And most of the time, they're like, I don't really know. And I'm like, go ask your parents. Go ask some of your friends. They will see. They may notice that growth. But ask yourself, think about this question. Am I growing in grace? Am I growing in humility? Humility, as it maybe is found, is that it's not just all about you. And it's not just all about what you want to get out of this, out of the past year or out of this coming year. But maybe you see it because you've had more of that spiritual mindset that focuses saying, look, I got to focus on the things that are pleasing to God. I got to focus on the things that God has called me to do. I got to focus on the things that I've been slacking at just because, I just prefer to do my own thing. Have you grown in humility to focus on spiritual matters? Maybe slightly different. Have you grown in humility? And that there's been an increase in genuine love and care and concern for people around you. Do you notice their need? Do you realize that what you could do to help them? It's another growth in grace. Or maybe it's just that you have grown in grace as you've come to understand more and more what grace really means for you. That you learn to no longer try to measure up in your own eyes or in the eyes of others, but realizing that your acceptance is with God through Jesus Christ. Whatever it is, ask yourself, have you been growing in grace? What areas do you notice? What areas may need attention in the coming year? Where may you feed off the growth that God has given? Where may you have to actually realize you've been stalling? There's a major problem, something that is a sign of danger, of unhealthy behavior or state, and that you can address by growing in grace. If we do that, and we want to grow, then we have to ask, as we focus our eyes on Jesus Christ, what has He given us that we may grow? Now, I'm sure there's some kids here who could answer this one, maybe even know some actions to go with it and sing a song, right? Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Kids know the answer. They may know even that song in a couple different languages. Like they, it's simple enough. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. And I say that answer and maybe chuckle because, yes, we do know the answer. But it's good at the start of another year to think about, is that a routine? Is that the habit of my life? Or is that something that's fallen by the wayside and I have another opportunity to focus on it, to build that habit, to just refocus, prioritize, make a resolution, you know, challenge yourself, saying, this year, I'm going to read through the whole Bible. I'm going to pick up a Bible reading plan. And we have so much technology these days that'll help you with it. It'll send you like an email. It'll just pop up in an app. It'll tell you what to read. Maybe it's something else. Pick a 365-day devotional. And so instead of saying, like, yeah, I'll go to Bible study sometime, like, go to Bible study. They'll love to have you there. Maybe focus on prayer. Like, your prayer has been sporadic, or you don't always remember to pray, to being like, look, I'm just going to set a time every day, this point, or when I'm driving, or whatever it may be, that's when I'm going to pray. Because I want to grow. Whatever works for you. And if you sense that, you know, you have stalled, that there's no real recognizable growth, maybe realize to try something new. To grow in grace. If you notice a lack of growth, maybe review your personal devotions, but maybe also review whether you make the best use of the public means of grace that God gives us, the worship and the body of Christ. Do you make the most of God's means in the worship and life of the church? Maybe especially answer that question if you are tempted to brush that off this morning. Saying like, well, that really hasn't usually helped me to grow. So if that's the case, if that's your immediate answer, maybe consider then what your expectations or what your attitudes have been as you made use of them. Do you not grow because you don't get much out of worship? Or do you get little out of worship because you don't grow? We always like to think it's only the one way, but if we're honest, it's more complicated than that. Do you expect growth to just be easy? Or are you willing to make, as Peter says, to make every effort? But if we want to grow, we don't just have to consider the spiritual matters, to call it that, in our life. There's going to be many different aspects of our day-to-day that will affect our growth for good or bad. Consider our daily habits. Consider the company we keep. Consider what comes out of our mouth. Consider the automated responses to life or to challenges. When we have to deal with the kids again. Our attitude to our daily tasks. So if we think, yes, we have, you know, personal devotions, yes, we come to church, like, continue then realize, like, none of us are going to be even near perfect in all of these areas. And in fact, there may be areas where there are things that are causing major harm to our growth. So consider, what does that mean then? What does growing in grace mean in those areas of life? Or consider those changes that would be just a massive boost to your overall spiritual well-being. Take the time. Think about these things. Take the time. The next couple weeks to think about them. What will allow you to grow in 2024? That's God's call for you. What will allow you to grow this year? And as you review what that looks like in your life for your family, realize what all of these means are meant to do. So do that second part. To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reading your Bible and praying. Joining in worship. Studying Scripture. Addressing sin and habits in your life. All of it is not meant to be just done mechanically. It's not all done to just be done for the sake of themselves so that your life is improved. Like someone, you know, as people may say, like, I'm going to meditate, or I'm going to be practice mindfulness, or I'm going to exercise. All of these things are meant to bring us to know Jesus Christ. Not just to know about Him, but to know Him. There can be no growth without knowing our Savior. Learning to enjoy Him. Learning to walk with Him through the coming year. As He says, abide in Me, remain in Me in this coming year. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that also makes it hard. Because what? Even as you've done all your thinking, what goals could you set yourself? Especially if we fear failure, especially if we know like growth is so much of it's out of our hand. What could possibly be the measurable goals that we could give ourselves? Let's give you one suggestion from a Scottish minister. You may have heard before, if you have looked for a daily reading plan of the Bible, you might have heard of the McShane plan. And he's a Scottish minister, and he said, you know, the hard work of growth or of sanctification kind of be summarized as this. For every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Jesus Christ. For every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Jesus Christ. And so as you take a hard look at yourself, where have you been growing? What may you do to grow? And where are you heading? To do that and do 10 looks at Jesus Christ. But as you seek to grow, you don't realize it's not just going to be about your strengths and your weaknesses. It'll just be more and more about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That as you know Him more and more, you're going to see my weaknesses are more weak than I expected, but His grace is sufficient. His strength, He is a mighty Savior. He perfectly covers over my weaknesses. As you walk with Him, you'll realize that yes, you think we have strengths. We've been gifts that we have been given. And then see how they just perfectly in conformity, in likeness to Him. How you may see an increase in humility. And to recognize, look, that's just the heart, that's just the mind of my Savior in me. That in all of our growth and all of our struggles to grow, either way, we just get to know Him better. And so go on into 2024 with this verse in mind, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.